You turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. We were here two weeks ago. Luke chapter 22. I have to preface this with some questions. Kind of touched on in the opening. But I've been pursuing God for 41 years with everything I've had, pretty much. I mean, that's been number one. And He's given me dreams and visions and visitations. I wish I'd have been diligent to keep track of all of them. And at least on a separate sheet, got them written in 30 years of planners, you know, personal planners. But to put them together, but I know in the dozens and dozens I've had, virtually everyone dealt with the coming glory of God. God called me back in about 1987 to pursue His glory. He told me, if you will trust me and pursue me, I'm going to show you things in these end times that the world has never seen before. Talk about the end time church. He said, sign me up. And He put it in my heart many decades ago. Decades ago, to pursue the glory of God coming on the end time bride. And that's my number one desire. I want to carry the glory. I don't want to just see it, I want to carry it. I want to release it, I want to be caught up in it. And in this pursuit, God's called me to make many shifts. And lately, it's accelerated. Some of the personal challenges He's, how can I say, called me to. Some of the things that, for one thing, personal health possibilities have driven changing the diet. That's been a radical change. So I'm down 20 pounds now, 40 to go. And, but the main change is another level of just making Him number one in everything. Not that I can't do other stuff, but just always make sure that you're aware of God, you're fellowshipping with God, you're calling upon His interaction, and try not to let that slip. And tonight I want to share a message. We started a few weeks ago, but we're going to get deeper tonight. That if you're after the things of God, you're going to like this message. If you choose just to go to church and do your duty and put in some time, you're not going to like it. And my assignment from God as a pastor has never been to make everybody happy. It's been to challenge people to the highest levels. Now, I went to college. I know many of you went to college. And when I went to college, I maxed out, how can I say, the area I thought I was qualified for. I went into engineering. And all through school, high school, I maxed out the courses I could take without any mentoring I might throw in. Just it was in me to max out what you could take the highest levels of science and math and stuff I could. Got to college, I was doing the same thing. But I noticed there were other people going to college in liberal arts classes. And I'm picking on anybody. But while I'm taking, you know, third semester, what's the word I want? I can't think of it. In calculus, a type of calculus, you know, different calculus. My buddy over there getting a degree as well, 4-year degree, is taking human sexuality. He's going to class. He had me filling one for him in a class, and they're talking about birth control devices in the class, put it that way. Thinking, in college? I'm over here crunching numbers, and they're filling around with this. And I realize some people go to college just for a degree. Others go for an education. Amen. I mean, a lot of places say, we just want a college degree. Well, then, you know, take the history of, you know, art, And nothing wrong with that. But some people chose to take other courses. Again, I'm trying to think of how not to be insulting with this. I'm not trying to be. I want to apply it to the church. Some people come in and just want to put in some time, others want to max it out. And those who want to max it out want to be stretched. When I was in, up through eighth grade, I hated school. Hated it all through all the 16, 17 years I took it. 18. Hated school. But there was a shift somewhere where I didn't want to study to where I wanted to stretch. Is anybody following me so far? And it's got to be the kind of shift in church. You got to come to the place, I want to be stretched. God, I so want your perfect will. I want your power, your giftings. I want to change lives. I want to make a difference. Do what you have to do in me. Show me truths I don't know about so I can move into the greatest, let's say, move of God the world's ever seen. And I believe God's called us here to be a high-level university training center. It's going to be hard to come in here and just put in some time. You follow me? You're going to come in here and say, God, I want all you have. Stretch me. And I believe that God gives me some higher-level, what can I say, coursework to teach. Than just, you know, Mary had a little lamb and his name was Jesus. And so tonight's going to be one of those areas we're going to move into that may step on toes. Just remember, you said, I want to go to this college course. I want to be stretched, right? So let's get into this. We touched on this first thing a few weeks ago. And my question I asked then, I'll ask it again tonight. Once a person's born again, you're truly born again, what is the hardest thing to adjust to as a new Christian, or any Christian? What's the hardest thing to adapt to? And again, a lot of Christians, you ask them, they say, well, you got to give up sin. Huh? Habits and old ways. I mean, that's part of it. Have to give up sin. You can't do those things. You can't go party anymore. Well, if you're truly born again, God changes your nature. You don't even want to do that thing, those things anymore. It wasn't hard for me to give up drinking and drugging and running. I mean, God gave me grace for it. There was deliverance. But my inner nature didn't want it anyway. Why? God changed you internally to be like Him. So it's not that hard to give up sin. You follow me? I don't get up every morning going, oh, I hope I don't get around any alcohol thing. I would never visit another family member the rest of my life if that was true. Probably on either side of our family. And because Patty's got a family with much alcohol use, my family was just a nothing but a line of drunks. I shouldn't say drunks, but heavy alcohol abusers. And I don't want to do it anymore. Once you give your life to Jesus and He changes you internally, you don't want to run around anymore. You don't want to break covenants. You don't want to drug. You want to serve God. There's things on TV I can't watch anymore. But you know what? I don't want to watch them anymore. It's not hard for me to turn off a television that's showing stuff that's inappropriate. Because it grinds in here. They start using bad language, it grinds in here. And there's a level, if it gets off, turn it off. Why? Not that one can hear that. It's that it doesn't align with what's inside of me. And I want peace in every part of my being. Which means my external things I expose myself intentionally have to agree with what God put on the internal. That's why I can't even watch a lot of news anymore. Because it's just rehearsing all the things the enemy's doing in the world. Yeah. And it runs the wrong direction within me. So what is the hardest thing to shift once you're born again? Look at Luke chapter 22. Let's read it. Starting at verse number verse 39, and he came out, Jesus, and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. Here we see a spiritual principle. Prayer can deliver you from temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. It's amazing how they measure some distances in former times. A stone's cast. Okay. Who's throwing it? Verse 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. The hardest thing to give up once you're born again is your own desires, plans that you want to do, that you think would be fun, rewarding, you know, uplifting. God says, no, I don't have that for you. I need you to do this. I can tell you right now, when God called me to preach, I wanted to do it. But I couldn't speak publicly. I wanted to because I knew it was his plan. But it wasn't what I'd have put on my list of desires any time earlier in life. Don't make me stand in front of people. If there comes a place, you've got to say, God, what do you want me to do? Not my will, but yours be done. And you submit to God's assignment for your life. What is that? Well, some of the assignments, for example, you're called into full-time ministry, can be totally life-shifting. Others, may not seem to be that radical, but yet are hard to do. You know, God says, oh, I don't want you to watch television, that show anymore. You told me to give up Tennessee football. My goodness, you could have said anything but that. 40 years ago. Anything but that. That was the hardest thing. I think as a Christian, it's the hardest thing I've ever gone through. To give up for God. It was virtually because it was so ingrained in me. It was like pulling teeth. To not turn on the TV during the games. And I went without it until it didn't matter anymore. So you can watch it now because now I can. And usually don't. But it was hard at the time. I've got to give you assignments that may seem meaningless, but there's a purpose behind it. But I want to talk about something more difficult to do than just finding what God's called you to do and attempting to step into it. Are you ready for this? Are your toes out there? That's getting up every day and say, God, what would you have me do today? And submitting your daily walk to the leading of the Holy Spirit. If he's letting you know, don't do that, don't do it. And basically ask permission for what you can do. And you only do what he tells you to do. And a lot of times what he tells you to do is not something you feel gifted for, ready for, or desirous of. Because if you ask God, he may say, I need you to go witness that person. Call that person and apologize. Tell your wife she was right and you were wrong. Never happened to me, but I've heard about it. He will give you assignments. Yes. Today, don't turn the television on. Get in my word. Separate unto prayer. Here was one we started, it's been now 16 years ago, I guess. God said, I want you to start praying all night on Friday nights with the church. It sounded like the most radical thing you could tell a person. Stay up all night and pray. Now, this is going to come up again later, but we did it for, 15 years, something like that? China knows because it's when she came in. 15 years we prayed all night on Friday night, so we're going to do it again as soon as we have a place. I'd like to have a place right now. And for 15 years, I never wanted to go. I mean, maybe three times in 15 years I wanted to go. Oh, yeah, I can't wait to pray. Usually, I've been doing stuff all day, running all day, because it's not like I sleep all day Saturday or Friday getting ready for it. I'm working, I'm ready, and by 10 o'clock, I'm ready to kick back and probably crash. You guys, okay, get ready for prayer. And with that exception, for all those years, I'd get to prayer and the anointing would hit. And I'd say, I'm so glad I didn't stay home. It's an example of not my will but yours be done, and God showing up to meet you where you step into His will. And God's calling us to be supernatural people that we are willing to move into that level of relationship, that level of commitment. Are you with me? I have an experiment to do today. I'm trying to see if I can get to it. Yeah, let's do it now. Let's move that direction. I've got probably an 8-part series here that I've been getting downloads on. So I've got to figure out where to put in what. And so I started meditating on different kinds of people in church. I've been doing this a while. And I've noticed some people come to church and there's the hungriest people. They just want everything you can release. Oh, I just want to plug in and download from you. And others come in like, is he ever going to shut up? He's been preaching an hour. I got stuff to do. The ball game's coming on, whatever. And you have all kinds of people that with different desires out of the service. Now, I know you guys all want me to go 3 or 4 hours tonight. But
they won't let you, will they?
They won't. Yeah, they won't let me. I've got the notes. The first kind of people I want to talk to come to church are spectators. They're just coming to put in their time with God. If they come, because they're not consistent in coming. They just want to do their duty, feel like they appease God or make the pastor happy. Somebody saw them, yeah, I'm a Christian. But internally, there's no really a desire for God to shift them. Look at Luke chapter 17. Jesus being confronted by the Pharisees, it says in verse 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered, Jesus answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Spectators will not tap into the kingdom of heaven. They may believe it's real. They may desire its results. But they're unwilling to make the changes necessary to step into it. And I know there's nobody here, right? And it's so hard to get out of our own habits, our own routines, our own daily activities to really press into the kingdom. The spectators make no effort. Do you follow me? Now I'm going to say something tonight I know is going to either convict some people, make some people mad. Can't come here again. Pastor Jack doesn't like me. I love every one of you. And I have nobody in mind saying this. It's just something I've seen in the past many times. I've had people in the church come up in a prayer line and say, I need this or that. You know, can you pray for me, agree with me on this? And I'll say, what verse are you standing on? Because I taught him for years, you need to have a seed. You got to have a verse. I built one for you too. You need a verse. Well, I don't know. I said, well, there's promise cards right back there. There's scripture confession cards back there. Have you got one of those? No, I've never got one of those. Well, I've been teaching the same thing for some time. We've had the cards for years. Some people want the kingdom enough to go back and get a card, get the word in their life, and start standing on it. Others just want the pastor to tap their head and everything goes away without any personal investment. And again, nobody in mind, but you gotta want it enough to start, you know, doing it yourself. I remember our girls being little, learning to dress themselves. Do you follow me? The tights were always the most challenging, it seemed like, getting those tights on. But they're trying to dress themselves, get it on, and they're making a mess. And, you know, finally, Daddy or Mommy, can you help me or whatever? Or you step in. There comes a time that they're not three anymore. They're now 15. They should learn to dress themselves. Do you follow me? There comes a time you've got to want it enough to apply it yourself to it. And again, I'm preaching to myself with all this as well. You've got to want it enough to not believe in a magic kingdom where everything's just given to you. You buy a ticket and you ride all the free rides for prepaid. You got to want it enough to get to work in you yourself. You follow me? Spectators are just putting in their duty. Now again, it's hard to get out of habits. Most of us have been in church for years. And we are accustomed to going, putting time, going home, reading devotional, whatever, and not really learning to build ourselves up in the kingdom. And there's got to be a switch thrown. I'm not doing it like that anymore. I'm shifting out of habit mode. And I'm going to change my actions to get this word in me so I can live out of the kingdom. Spectators come when convenient. They do their religious duty. They primarily pray only when they're in trouble. Well, I've tried everything else. I guess I need to pray. Please, God, please. And they don't even know how to pray. Even if they sat in the teaching for years, they're still begging God to do something. But God says, I've already done it. Speak the word. They may come to church to have you impress them. Pastor, teach me something new today. Paul said, the Jews desire a sign, the Greeks seek wisdom. The Jewish mentality coming to church wants you to prove something to them, to see a miracle. The Greeks want a new revelation. Show me some wisdom. Show me something new. And both minds are in church. Yet you've got to become the one that wants to carry the power of yourself enough that you'll make personal investment. Is this okay with you so far? You still love me?
Yes.
And again, spectators usually don't tithe. They may, but you know, maybe they were raised where we got to tithe, but very often they don't tithe because, you know, they don't see the natural payoff for it. Can't afford it. And again, what we do with our money to a high level tells us what kind of church attender we are, for a spectator or at higher levels. Amen. Why? Your money represents your time, your life's investment. What you do with your funds, how can I say? It indicates whether you're really connecting to God's kingdom or not. Amen. And spectators function primarily out of the earthly realm. They live 100% for the most part out of the natural. They go by their feelings. They may be manipulative, controlling, weighed down, burdened, in bondage. They're caught up in the natural. The second type, so spectators are flesh dominated. The second type I want to talk about are participators. Praise God for participators. In many cases, this is the highest level or a higher level people tap into in church. Participators want God to use them. Participators want to be changed. Let's look at a verse here just to stay in the flow. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm turning to scriptures and I got them written down right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 23. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner. participator and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches and of the glory of Christ. Philippians 4:3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, yoke together, participating, partnering. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other of my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. They're cooperating with the kingdom. They're partnering with the church. They're helping the ministers of God. Do you follow me? Regarding participators versus spectators, we just spend some time in praise and worship. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but you can ask yourself internally, how much did you press into that? How much did you just separate yourself unto God during a good time and worship Him, praise Him, talk to Him? Because spectators usually just come to church for the word, and praise and worship often just a waste of time for them. Unless it's just a really jam and worship band, right? They're not there for the anointing. They're there just to spectate. And so, spectators, when the praise and worship enters, understand, the more that enter into worshiping God, the higher the anointing becomes. He inhabits the praise of His people, of Israel, right? So the more that you get caught up in worship, the higher levels the anointing goes to. The presence of God comes in. The spectators are not involved now. Participators usually are. Participators love Jesus. They're giving themselves over to the worship Lord. Me and you. Right? I want to tell you how much I appreciate you, how much I love you. And it's beyond anything I can express vocally. And they get caught up in it. Do you follow me? They're adding to the anointing. Participators. Help in church activities. What can they do? They work in the nursery, children's church, and other positions. They definitely tithe. They attend all services possible. They pray regularly, not just a devotional every day. A lot of times the spectator just has a daily verse he reads. Well, I got it in. I did it. And never let it even get down inside of them. Participators read the word to have it change them, to have it fuel them, to have it feed them. They have a daily word intake. But often they lack full revelation of who they are in Christ. They want to help with the church, but they don't know who they are fully yet. So they're not tapping into the full power available. They struggle with fully being Spirit-led. So it's like they want to move into the power of God, into the anointing, into the presence. But in their daily walk, they struggle with being able to tap into it personally. Do you follow me? It's one thing to enter the church and enter the glory. It's another thing to be able to do it at home. Or even making it a priority. Spectators could care less. Participators often haven't learned to tap into it. Are you still with me?
Yes.
And so they struggle with that, being fully led by the Spirit, flowing with God,
yes.
Life, the kingdom life. They sow into special offerings. Participators visit the kingdom usually when they come to church, but they don't live there yet. They often have awareness of the kingdom, but lack revelation of their own God likeness, blood bought rights. Let me say that again. They have a revelation of the reality of the kingdom. Anybody here believe in the kingdom of heaven? Believe we have access to it now?
Yes.
But yet they lack revelation of who they are. They lack revelation of their righteousness. And they struggle tapping into that kingdom personally. You follow me? Now listen. Everybody has to go through spectating level to go beyond it. I'm sorry, participating level. Avoid being a spectator. Jesus spoke to the Laodicean church as if they were spectators. Oh, you think you got it all. You're naked, blind. You follow me? because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew out of my mouth. Participators will want to move in. And praise God for the participators. But I want to talk about another level, which is where experiment comes in. Water's cooled off enough, it has. Another stool. Can you grab me that stool?
Oh,
never
bad.
Mind. Let's get somebody else.
Just sat there.
I'll get it.
That's a big step.
It is a big step.
Oh, yeah.
It was bigger than what I thought.
Well, it is really big.
Double stack, yeah. Even the bottom.
Just right here next to this one. Right there's good. Step between. So the next type of person I want to talk about are catalysts. Now catalysts are usually thought of in terms of chemistry. Help if I could open this. Got teeth. Thought of in terms of chemistry. And usually in terms of causing reactions. Now, anybody here know what a catalyst is? I know Charles does. He knows everything. What's that?
That's probably true.
Catalysts are chemicals, substances, that force reactions to take place. Oh no, that's the wrong bottle.
Uh-oh.
See, I'm talking, I poured it in the wrong bottle.
Uh-oh.
It won't matter.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's fine. It kind of hurt it, I poured it in anyway. It's just dishwasher soap. It's just dish soap. It's stone or something similar. It's 99 cents for a jug. Shake this up a bit. Catalysts are substances that force reactions to take place. They're not actually, changed in a reaction. They just cause it to take place. Now, an example is not a catalyst. A lot of us were exposed to in school when somebody made a baking soda volcano. Anybody ever see the baking soda volcanoes? How many made one? I didn't make the volcano. I just made the reaction a lot. And what it is if you take baking soda and you mix it with vinegar, it foams. Do you follow me? So the baking soda combines with the acetic acid in the vinegar, and it produces new substances. Sorry. It makes new substances. Catalysts don't do that. Catalysts speed up reactions that can take place. Do you follow me? And they force reactions to take place in an accelerated fashion. And I believe God has plans to raise us with catalysts in the body of Christ. Let me talk about catalysts in churches for a second. Catalysts pursue God's will in all endeavors. Now again, I copied down some definitions of catalysts. Let me read that right now. Catalyst is a substance that speeds up or lowers the temperature needed for a chemical reaction to occur without being consumed by the reaction itself. In other words, there's a reaction that needs to take place, or it's going to take place very slowly, but when you have a catalyst, it speeds it up. But the catalyst isn't changed itself. It remains the same chemical, forming the same substance. There's also, beyond chemistry, the term catalyst can also be used metaphorically. This is straight out of Google. To describe a person or event that triggers significant change or action. For example, a new law might be considered a catalyst for social change. Let me talk about somebody in the world right now who's a catalyst. Donald Trump is a catalyst. He triggers change. He forces reaction. Do you follow me? Elon Musk is a catalyst. He's a scientific catalyst, right? He's forcing futuristic development at a level I didn't think I'd see this rapidly. There are financial catalysts. There are literary catalysts. There are scientific catalysts. Einstein was a catalyst. The stuff he formulated and came up with accelerated our understanding of the universe light years in advance. Catalysts, that they're forcing change, they're causing reactions to take place. And I think God wants to raise up out of a lot of participators end-time catalysts that are forcing change to take place. So participators go to church to be changed. Catalysts go into the world to change the world. Catalyst Christians go to church to get filled, to take something into the world to transform it. And the neat thing is with a catalyst, when you add a catalyst to something, it's not changed. And God wanted to raise up catalyst Christians that could go into the world, transform it without it transforming them. Yeah. We've had a lot of governmental people try it. The vast majority have failed. They went into a government position wanting to bring Christianity and change and all this stuff, and instead, corruption overtook them. That's why we're not seeing a lot of arrests yet, because they're all in on it.
Yep.
Almost down to the last one. There's a few, I'm sure, have kept their self spotless from the world. But they weren't catalysts. They had a good intention, but they weren't ready. God's raising up some anointed spokesmen, leaders, people who interface with the world that it can't impact them. They will change the world. Amen. And so catalysts, birth ministries, and birth businesses. Catalysts so radically to induce change. Participators will give in a special offering. They give significantly. But catalysts use seed, financial seed, as a tool to radically force change. Amen. Instead of giving $100, you're giving away cars.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, whatever. You're forcing change to take place. You're changing lives. Often they fast extensively. They're visionaries. They stretch themselves, listen to me, they stretch themselves believing they're the offspring of God, and nothing is impossible for them. You got to believe you're not who you used to be. And God's called you to be a catalyst. They're all in. Remember we talked about being all in? They're all in. God, whatever, let's do it. I don't care. Your plan's not mine. And they're determined to live out of the kingdom of God. What I mean by that is, they're determined to live supernaturally out of the promises of the Word of God, out of the promises we can do the greater works, out of God's assignments to change the world. They're determined to do that. And they're not setting unless they're doing something to advance the kingdom and even develop themselves. They want more than just getting by in church. They want all that God has. I want to be a catalyst. Do you follow me? I believe the glory is going to make all of us catalysts. You carry the glory, it's going to shift everything around you. But it's going to radically accelerate change. You know, God gave me the concept of 2018 of community ambassadors. It's been 7 years now. Of going into the city and bringing the kingdom to the city and shifting things. And of course, they don't have the revelation yet of how valuable we can be. But it's coming. That's catalyst activity. I'm going in to shift something, to change something. Not just to show a nice smile. I want to be radically anointed of God to bring change. Jerk people out of the fire. So I have a demonstration of a catalyst reaction here tonight. And even though some soap has been mixed in, this is 3% hydrogen peroxide, just 3%. I wanted to get some 36%, but I didn't want it to hit the ceiling. It's not my church. But hydrogen peroxide, the formula for, how many know the formula for hydrogen peroxide besides yours? Huh? No. It's H2O2. It's water with an extra oxygen atom. And because it, see, water is one of the stablest substances out there. It's stable. When you add another oxygen atom, it's not quite as stable. And that's why they put it in, you know, dark bottles, because the light will actually start to break it down and accelerate that. And if you leave this hydrogen peroxide out, over time it will actually, that oxygen molecule, or oxygen atom will be given up. It'll turn to water. Hydrogen peroxide can go bad because it will turn to water given enough time. Now it may take years. Probably an expiration date on this is far gone. I have a house full of expired chemicals. Substances. But I've tested it. It's still good. But it will turn to water. It wants to become water. And left by itself, it'll do that. But there's a catalyst that forces this reaction to take place. And it's called yeast. Yeast has a substance in it called a catalase that interacts with the H2O2 to turn it to oxygen, a gas, and water. In an accelerated fashion. Now, something I want to do just for effect has no effect on the reaction other than being pretty. That was gone. My last bottle of food coloring in Illinois leaked. I had green hands all week. We'll let it drink to it. The red's empty. Some yellow. Some yellow on this side. Now, I want you to think for a minute that this bottle of peroxide is your hometown. We're in Georgetown. It's Georgetown tonight. Do you follow me? And we're waiting for God to change Georgetown. We're waiting for things to happen. It just seems like it's happening so slow. But God finds a catalyst. How many are shocked? How many have actually been shocked by the change Donald Trump has brought to the nation?
Yeah.
Radical change. Accelerated change.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, the Doge team, everything. Boom, 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 boom. And they try the hardest to stop it, just like they try to stop us. And so here's the city. Here's some of us, hopefully all of us, that said, I want all God has. Use me, God. What do you want me to do today? And he says, go interact there. And the anointing shows up. And something changes, just yeast. So we're going to add the catalyst to the peroxide. Are you ready?
Yep.
Are you filming?
Get out of the way.
Now, in Illinois, we had all those kids up here watching it. They were playing it and everything else, you know. But now it's water. It's foamy because of the soap we added. And the food color is some color. It's oxygen coming off, forming the bubbles. It's turning into water. And we just took that entire thing of peroxide that would have taken years to break down naturally. And it just did it in seconds. Catalyst power. And God has called us to be catalysts. And I anoint you.
Water tower.
There you go, I like it. It does kind of look like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In fact, if I took the bottle, it produces heat too. Well, there's more water anyway. I could take the bowl and put it on top of your head. Like the water tower cut off. So God's called us to move another level. It's what he's been calling me to talk to me about. To move out of participatory state, just training state continually, and let's transform something. Let's change some lives. Let's change the area. Let's change our city.
Yes.
But you got to want it enough. It starts with God. What do you want me to do today? What's your assignment for today, right now? This morning. Get up every morning. God, what's my assignment today? And wait until you hear it. Because here's what we normally do. Anybody want to drink any of this? Wait, it's something like it. Here's what we usually do. We get up with a list we made the day before we want to do. Our list is so important. Our priorities, our needs, our things to do list, my honey-do list is never nonstop. Multiplying. It's just double the day. So it's still going. We consider our things to do list so important that we put God at the back of the list. Do you follow me? And so we usually get our list, we work on it, all day. We have to go to our jobs, our family, everything else. We got to do cleaning, whatever it might be. And at the end of the day, our plans are, well, God, at the end of the day, I'll seek you at the end of the day. You're so spent, you open the Word, you fall asleep.
Yeah.
You try to pray, and your mind just spent. Yeah. Why? Because you spent all day doing your list. Now God's saying, you want to put me now? I understand some people's schedules they have to pursue later. I'm talking about where you intentionally, I shouldn't say with malice, but you decided your list is more important. And I'm guilty of this all the time. That's what one of the things God's been calling me on. Quit putting me behind your list. Find out what you want me to do today. You'll be surprised how many things on the list will go away. And how much you're going to tap into if you do what I want you to do. Same person. Same knowledge. Do you follow me? Same experience. But different results when you step into what God says, I want you to do this. And you really start tapping into the grace of God where the power of God is, the giftings of God are. And God can use your catalyst. Because God can't use leftover God-time people as catalysts. You got to want it enough to prioritize it. To make it important. And not just do it religiously out of duty. What am I going to read? I got to pray. Lord, bless President Trump. Bless my kids. Now, you pursue God. You pursue His face. How can I know you? What would you have me do? Let me learn your voice style. Okay. Amen. It's not even all about what God can do for you. It's what you can do for God. God don't take people with that attitude and make them catalysts. Anybody have that attitude tonight? That's a whole other message right there if I get into this. Galatians chapter 2. The This is such a powerful verse, but I don't think we have a full revelation of it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Spectators live out of the natural. Participators live out of the soul. Catalysts live out of the spirit. They're just flowing with the spirit. And we've got to get this revelation. I'm dead in Christ. Now, understand what we have to some level. Well, I know I'm dead with Christ, but now I'm born again. I love Jesus, and I'm a new creation. But it tells us the life I now live, I'm living with a different focus, a different system, a different priority. The life I now live, I'm living out of the kingdom of heaven intentionally. Now, next week, we're going to get into this challenge between our priority list, God's list for us. That's at least that's where I think we're going. And the challenge there, to trust God with your list, that his might be more important. I don't know about you, but let's think it through for just a minute. It's kind of a preview of next week. I believe, I've come to conclude after many years now, God knows more than I know. I believe God knows more about me than I know. I believe he knows more about my things to do list than I know. He knows my core priorities better than I know. Yet we're so concerned that God won't let us get to our list, we don't want to know his list. See, it's mental imbalance. If you're afraid to ask God what he wants you to do, well, if I ask God, he'll tell me to do this and I can't do this. Wow, God didn't know how important your list was. Get a trust him with it. It's interesting. Today I got up and I've got a list. I'm going to Virginia next Monday. Not tomorrow, but next Monday to pick up my daughter. Spend a few weeks.
Here, not there.
I'm going to Virginia to pick her up and bring her
here. I know, but you said spend a few weeks. I was just clarifying that. Okay.
I'm bringing her back. I'll be there 2 days and I'm bringing her back. Spend a few weeks here. And thank you. And so, I got a lot of stuff to do to be ready. And I had a whole list of stuff I needed to do today. As far as not just today, I need to get done. And I got up this morning and said, God, not my list, but yours be done. What would you have me do? You know, I'm willing to spend all day in the Word, all day in prayer, and I spend some time in prayer, praying in the Spirit. You know, read a chapter or so. And then God said, go to your list. And I had to fight. Feel like I missed it. No way, no way I'm supposed to do my list, you know, some of my list on a Sunday. And I go out and do a little of it. And I feel God said, okay, now get back in the Word. Get back in prayer. And he said, okay, go do some more of your list. And it was just flowing like that today. Just in and out. He knows my list.
Yeah.
Amen. And in the meantime, I start revelating out of the Word. He's given me weeks, if not months, of revelation this year. In a short time, because I put his list first. And he knows what we need. Let's trust him with him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.